2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on, and he talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I thought about, since yesterday was January 1st, I thought about preaching on the first day. There has to be a first day. I run into too many folks that talk about, well, I've always been a Christian, or I've always believed on the Lord. No, there has to be a first day. Amen. And then there out of Proverbs, I was thinking about the instruction given about avoiding some things. There's some things we ought to avoid, some places we ought to avoid in the new year. But again, I'll leave that for Brother Logan when he gets there. Amen. Amen. What I'm looking at here is, and I've used some of this, it's nothing new. You're probably familiar with it already. But what I'm looking at is, when you think about this new year, the devil's going to try and stop you in this new year. Amen. He doesn't want you to go on for the Lord. He's going to do everything he can to stop you. Amen. The devil, his game plan, you know this too. His game plan is twofold. One, he works in the area of deception with the lost. He tries to keep the lost deceived to their need of the Savior, the way of salvation, these things, amen, keeps them deceived. But the way he works with the believer is he works to detour him. to stop him. And the biggest thing he'll use is disheartenment and discouragement. Boy, if he can get you focused on the circumstance around about you, he can pretty well stop you where you're at. Amen. But the devil wants to stop us in this new year. Too many times we'll get bogged down in things that we had no control over, things that have already taken. Either we're living too far back to where the devil can stop us, or even ourselves. We'll stop ourselves. We'll get dwelling on too many things. Amen. But here, look at what I'm looking at here, and then we'll point out what I'm trying to bring. Look again at verse 6, at the end of verse 6, where it says, "And they too went on." Look at the end of verse 8. "And they too went over on dry ground." And then verse 11. "And it came to pass as they still went on." Elijah and Elisha went on. Amen. They went on for the Lord. Now Elijah, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he was leaving out. Amen. And he's got Elisha, his protege, alongside with him. You know, he found Elijah plowing the ground with 12 yoke of oxen, as you could back up and find out in previous chapters in 1 Kings 19. But Elijah poured water on the hands of Elijah. Elijah was the man of God. Well, here, Elijah's going to be caught up, and the mantle's going to fall upon Elijah. But now, if Elijah had stopped anywhere along the way, there'd have been no one to pick up the mantle and to go on. Amen. As I said, the devil wants to stop you. And it's not always bad things or evil things or wicked things that he'll use to stop you. Okay? Now, look in the text again with me. With this thought of how far are you willing to go in this new year? What can the devil do to stop you? Or how far are you willing to go in this new year? Look here now at Elijah and Elisha. Look at the first place they come to. Read again with me there in the verse 2. 2 Kings 2 and verse 2. "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel." The first place they come to here is Bethel. Now, they're walking together. That's interesting, too. How can two walk together except to be agreed? But here, they're walking together. And the first place they come to is Bethel. Now, you know that places, names of people have meaning. You know that, amen? I could use a little humor. Gary, my first name, Gary. Gary means brave warrior. Of course, you could tell that just by observing me, right? Humor helps, okay? But now, the first place they come to is Bethel. Now, Bethel I got ahead of myself, okay? Let me back up, okay? The first place they're at is Gilgal. I knew I was off on the wrong foot. Look at verse 1 with me is where we need to start. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Here, the first place they're at is Gilgal. The first place they went to is Bethel. Okay? But we need to start from where they came from. They came from Gilgal. The first place they were at was Gilgal. And I said, names have meaning. Gilgal, the word itself simply means a rolling. You can check it out in any Bible dictionary or any common dictionary. The word itself, Gilgal, has to do with a rolling. And we find it in the book of Joshua when Moses is taken off the scene and Joshua is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. that generation that had disobeyed God had died off in the wilderness. And there's a new generation raised up. Now, the first of the cities they would take is Jericho. We learn that in the next chapter, in Joshua chapter 6. But before they could go over to Jericho, they're stopping here at Gilgal. The children of Israel at Gilgal. Now there, and I'm going to try and pick my words so that I don't offend anyone. Okay? There at Gilgal, Joshua was instructed by the Lord to take sharp knives and to circumcise all the men. Okay? Now, that generation had passed away and this new generation had come up, but they had never been circumcised. Before they could go on any further, there had to be the cutting away of the flesh. Okay? Circumcision was the cutting away of the flesh. You understand what I'm saying, you that are old enough, okay? So here, when they come to Gilgal then, it means a rolling. Before they could go any further, there had to be a separation here take place at Gilgal, the cutting away of the flesh. Now, you and I, we understand that the old man's not dead. He won't be dead until we're transformed out of here, amen? We live with the old man, but we are to die to the old man as best we can. We're to count the old man dead. We're to reckon ourselves dead to sin. He'll rise up. He'll do all he can. Amen. But Gilgal, it was a place of separation. It represents God's purging. Before you can go on any further, you've got to come to a place in your life after you're saved that you're going to separate your life unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves unto the Lord. Amen. Now, whenever you talk about separation in the Baptist church, you can just about feel folks begin to cringe. Amen. But separation is not a negative thing. Separation is just not you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't go there. I can prove it to you. Lost people don't do those things. There's lost people never dress wrong. They never crowds around. They've never tasted alcohol. Amen. They're not separated. They're lost. Separation is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Okay? Separation is really a twofold thing. Separation is separation from the world and unto the Lord. In other words, I don't do this or I won't do this because I want to please the Lord. Amen. You think about some of the cults. Boy, they've got rules and regulations. You can't do this and you can't do that. Some of them, they won't drink tea. They won't drink coffee. I don't call that separation. I call that being miserable. Good night. Can you imagine getting up with no coffee? I'd hate to think I had a heart attack and couldn't have coffee. I'd probably go into jitters right then. But separation is not you don't do this and that. See, the Pharisees, they boasted of how they didn't do this and didn't do that. And they did all this other. Remember Luke 18? I thank God I'm not as other men are. That's what the Pharisees said. Extortioners and unjust and so forth. And then began to boast how he did his alms and how he prayed and all this. Hey, that's not separation. That's Phariseeism. Amen. Okay. Separation is where you come to a place in your life where you're going to live for God no matter if anybody else does or not. You're going with God. Amen. So they come from a place of separation. God's purging. Before you can go on and do anything for the Lord, you've got to come to that place of purging, that place of separation. God's purging. Amen. So they're leaving Gilgal, and then the first place they come to after that is Bethel. But now here, the admonition each time with these two men, Elijah tells Elisha, tarry ye here. Now you stop and ponder. If Elisha had stopped right there at Gilgal, not gone on to Bethel, everybody would have took note of him and said, my, he's a clean-cut fellow. Boy, I could feel something there. Amen. He's a sharp-looking young man. Now, we've got some sharp-looking young men here at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. Amen. Okay. But what I'm saying is, everybody would have took, there's something different about him. Look at him. He's a sharp young man. It'd have been a good thing. Amen. But he still wouldn't have been where he needed to be. Okay? He could have stopped with a good thing. Everybody would have praised him for being at Gilgal. Well, they left Gilgal and then they came to Bethel. I got ahead of myself a minute ago. The first place they came to was Bethel. Now, as Gilgal, the word itself means a rolling. Bethel, it has to do with the house of God or the gateway to heaven, that kind of thing. Amen. Bethel. Okay. As Gilgal represents God's purging, Bethel represents God's presence. Amen. The presence of God. Okay. Now, as we learn about Gilgal from Joshua chapter 5, we learn about Bethel from Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28 is where Jacob, you remember the trickster, how that he had beguiled and deceived and tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright and then out of the blessing of the firstborn with his mother's help. Amen. And boy, he left Esau mad enough to kill him. So his mother says, we need to send Jacob to my homeland that he might find a bride in my homeland. Esau had taken a couple other wives and displeased Isaac and Rebekah. So Rebekah says, we need to send him to my homeland. Well, Jacob sets out, and on his journey to his mother's homeland, night falls upon him. It's where he takes and makes a pillow out of a stone and goes fast asleep there in Genesis chapter 28. And when he wakes up saying, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Well, Jacob could have been the first Baptist. Amen. Well, here he changes the name of the place from Luz to Bethel. Okay? It's where he sees the ladder with the angels ascending and descending upon the ladder. And he changes the name of it to Bethel, the house of God, the presence of God. It's where God showed himself to Jacob. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the presence of God in salvation. Okay? You could use a couple of illustrations. You could think about Paul the Apostle, where Paul said there in the book of Philippians, that he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen? Now, my thought is, Paul knew the Lord, did he not? He was saved. But Paul wanted to know the Lord. He wanted God's presence to be real every day in his life. Amen? Hey, you and I need to get to Bethel where God's so real that we're afraid to take a step unless we're sure it's what God wants us to do. I can tell you this, I wouldn't go to Mexico unless I knew it was God. I wouldn't get close to that border unless I knew God was directing me down there. Amen. I wouldn't drive 10 miles in unless I knew God was in it. Amen. Furthermore, I don't know if I'd fly all the way to Papua New Guinea to live in some hut up in a mountain and drink coffee. Amen. No, I'm using a little humor. But hey, if you know God's in it, you're ready to charge out. Amen. Amen. Now, using the illustration here, they started at Gilgal. Elisha could have stayed at Gilgal and they just said good things about him. They went to Bethel. And again, he could have stayed at Bethel. And everybody would have said good things about him. Boy, he's a clean-cut fella, and he really knows God. Amen. But see, the idea is the devil wants to stop you. He wants to hinder you. He wants to detour you. And he can even use good things to do that. Well, the good news is that they went on. We read it, and they went on. Well, they started at Gilgal. They went to Bethel. The next place they come to is Jericho. Look with me again in the scriptures, where it says there verse 5, "And the sons of the prophets that were of Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here." I'm still ahead of myself. Boy, I need to write down better notes. Verse 4 is where I'm at, okay? "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord sent me to Jericho." Okay, Jericho. They started at Gilgal. They went to Bethel, place of God's presence. And now they've come to Jericho. Now, as Gilgal represented God's purging, separation unto the Lord, and Bethel represents God's presence, God being real in his life, here Jericho represents the past victories that God gives us in our life. Amen. Jericho represents past victories. Now here's where the devil will work. I believe he'll work here more than he will in the other two. He'll work to keep you in your past life. Amen. Whether it be past victories or past defeats. You know, the good news is, yesterday's gone. There's not one thing you can do about yesterday. All you can do is make the most of today. Because yesterday is gone. But now, when you think about Jericho being past victories, it was amazing how God gave them the city. The Lord instructed Joshua, and he told the children of Israel. Now, Jericho was a walled city. They would run chariots on the top of the walls. People lived inside the walls. Rahab lived in the side of the wall. Okay? I mean, it was a mighty fortress. I could see the children of Israel when Joshua says, we're going to take Jericho. And they're thinking, yeah, sure. That's the plan, huh? And then he tells them, here's how we're going to do it. The priests are going to bear up under the ark. And they're going to, were to get in, the men were getting behind them. And they were to march around one time every day for 6 days. And nobody said a word. Amen. Well, we know they's all Baptists, right? Well, they did that for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they were to march around seven times, and the priests were to blow the trumpets, and the people were to shout. Well, that kind of contradicts whether they were Baptists. Because all of them shouted. And when all of them shouted, the walls came tumbling down. See, God gave them the city in a unique way. Now, can't you see that generation that experienced that? Boy, years down the road, you should have been there. But I was there when the walls came tumbling down. I was an eyewitness. I saw it all. They blew the trumpets and everybody shouted. And God broke down the walls. And God gave us Jericho. Well, they'd go around for it. You should have been there when the walls came tumbling down. Well, that's wonderful, but where are you at now? What are you doing now? Amen. God's interested in you doing something now. See, but we'll quit on what we used to do. I mentioned that retire. I don't plan on retiring. Now, God may stop me someday. I might not have the health to go, might not have the ability to do, But I could still see myself, even if I couldn't travel, I'd have to do something. Amen. I'd have to help them boys in the nursing home or something. Amen. You got preaching. You can't sit too long. You know, after being home 2 or 3 weeks, I'm ready to go. I'm saying, I need to preach somewhere, Barbara. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, but you get my point here is that it's wonderful that God will use us. But he wants to use us now as much as he did in the past. Amen. But we'll bog ourselves down. Either in the past victories or sadly even in the past defeats. You know, not everything about 2018 was good news. Am I right? Amen. It's a scary thing to go to the doctor and told you may have cancer. Not everything in life is good news. Amen. Some folks, you know, why'd this happen my way? Why'd this happen to me? I've been serving God all this time. See, we like to have pity parties. Pity parties really aren't no fun. Because nobody comes. I told you, there's no balloons. No cake and ice cream. They're no fun. But we like to live in the defeats. Hey, I told you, using humor again. When we went on the road, we had Daniel and David and Rachel. I had a good thing going. We had that string music. I love string music. I chord that guitar as best I can. But them boys, you know, I play the rhythm. Boy, they made everything else sound good. That banjo and that mandolin. And then we had 4-part family harmony. I had a good thing going. And then them boys met girls. Boy, you talk about throwing a cog in my plans. And they said, we're going off the road. I said, what are you going to do? And I said, we're going to get jobs. You can't pay us. Boy, if they're with me now, I still couldn't pay them. Amen. And I told Barbara, I said, what are we going to do now? I've got to make it on my preaching. And she helped them, though. Get over it, Gary. Get over it. Amen. Hey, we need to get over it. And we need to go on. The devil wants to stop you. And he'll use either the victories or the defeats to stop you if he can. Now, you think about what we've read so far. They started at Gilgal, God's purging. Went to Bethel, God's presence. They've come to Jericho, God's victories. Okay? All right? Now, had Elisha stopped there? Boy, do you think all the good reports about him? Look at that young man. Boy, he's a sharp young man. He really knows God. And God's had his hand on him. God's used him. And that would all been good things. Amen. But see, there's more to it yet. God wants us to go on. We've been given another whole year, possibly, before he comes. God wants us to go on. Amen. Now, notice something. And here I'm on the right verse now. Verse 6, okay? This last place they come to is Jordan. And we read it there. And Elijah said unto him, Terry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan. It sent me to Jordan. As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Now take note of this. As Gilgal represents God's purging, the place of separation, and Bethel, God's presence, okay, and Jericho, the past victories from the Lord. Here, Jordan represents God's power, the power of God. Boy, for us to be able to go on, we can't do it in ourselves. We've got to be able to do it in his power and in his strength. Amen. Hey, if it's left up to us, every one of us would throw in the towel. You wouldn't make it. I mean, you've got a couple of weeks, but still, you wouldn't make it if it depended upon you. You wouldn't get to Mexico if it's up to you. Amen. Hey, it takes something more than what you and I have. It takes the power of God. Amen. to cross over Jordan. Now, take note of it, what I'm getting at, okay? See, they started at Gilgal. I'm assuming they walked to Gilgal, okay? They left Gilgal and went on to Bethel, got there under their own means, okay? Then they go on to Jericho, and they got to Jericho under their own power, their own strength. Nothing needed to get there. Either they went by wagon or picked them up one after the other. Amen. Okay. And they got there by their own means. But now here, Jordan's at flood level. They're not going to get across Jordan by what they are or what they can do. Amen. Hey, you're not going to go on in the new year if it's just you. There's only three times in the Word of God where the River Jordan parts. Two of them are right here with Elijah and Elisha. The first one was in Joshua 3. When Joshua's going to lead them over Jordan, they come to Jordan. It's an impossible situation. They're all camped there on the banks of the river. The river's at flood level. There's no way they can cross. It's where Joshua told them to, told the priests to bear up under the ark representing the power and the presence of God, and they were to march toward Jordan. And as soon as the soles of their feet touched the waters of Jordan, the waters parted. They're at flood level. And the waters parted hither and thither, and that whole group walked across dry shod. Amen. When they got to the other side, they closed back up. Well, they were told there, the Lord told Joshua to instruct them that they were to keep their eyes on the ark. They were to follow the ark. They were to go with God. Amen. That's what we've got to do in the new year. Don't look at what's around you. Don't look at what you may see or may have been told or the sitting you find yourself in. No, you look for God in that thing. And you go on with God. Now, here, again, they're at Jordan now. It's Elijah and Elisha. The water, there's no way they can get across Jordan. And it's where Elijah takes the mantle. And where is the water's part, and they go over on the other side. And get over on the other side. It's just Elijah and Elisha. God got them over to the other side, and the waters parted, closed back up where they were parted. And Elijah says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do unto thee." You notice how interesting it is that Elisha didn't say, "Well, we could use a larger house." He didn't say, you know, a new Escalade would be nice. He didn't say, I need a better job. Although some of those may be legitimate needs. What Elisha had observed in Elijah, he cried out, he says, "I want a double portion of what you've got." Amen. "I want a double portion of the Spirit that you've got upon you." Are you getting the thought? Hey, a lot of times we're stopped at Jordan because we're asking for the wrong thing. We're asking God to move the mountain. Maybe God just wants to give us strength to climb the mountain. We're asking God to part the waters. Amen. Maybe you and I are asking for a boat so we can get maybe downstream, get across somewhere. You getting my thought? Hey, if we're gonna go on to the victory side, we've got to do it God's way. And we've got to have God's power that we might be able to go on. Well, here now, Elisha takes that mantle of God and he stands there before that same Jordan's waters and he cries out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And God did the same thing for Elisha that he did for Elijah. God parted the waters. I'm here to tell you that God will do the same thing for you. Just as he was with Elijah, just as he was with Elisha, God will be with you if you don't stop short, if you don't allow the devil to keep you in Gilgal, or to stop you in Bethel, or to keep you bogged down in Jericho. Every one of us can go on across Jordan. If we don't stop, allow the devil to stop us in one of these other places. Amen. This new year, God wants you to go on. The old devil wants to stop you. He'll even use good things to stop you from crossing Jordan. Our goal for the new year ought to be like Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God, I want to cross these waters. I want to go on for you. Amen. I don't want to be bogged down. I want to live on the victory side. I want to live with the power of God. And I want to see it evident in the new year. Amen.